Well, hello, and this is not Brian Brown.
No, it isn't.
But it's,
you're not
it's,
Brian Brown.
But it is the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland, you know, although I'm not Brian Brown.
You know, it kind of makes a point, honestly.
Yeah.
That it, just how necessary is Brian Brown,
you know, because the podcast will live on.
It's going on.
It's happening
it's
right
almost
now.
As, nothing feels different, really.
He's not even on our continent.
Other than we're not getting his, his spiel.
Yeah. So
about the historic,
at this
can
point,
can you replicate?
Let me see. I've heard it enough.
Yeah. Let's see if you can.
Okay. We are in the B.B. McKinney. No, we are ensconced.
Yes.
In the beautiful. I don't know his words.
Well,
he has different.
He has like majestic.
Majestic is a word.
Opulent.
Opulent. That's the one.
B.B. McKinney.
All the things, and still every time he describes this room. It's the most plain-looking podcast room. I'm sitting here going, really? If this is opulent, I don't think I like that.
He's painting a picture for in the minds of our listeners.
Yes, that's right. He said it's a theater of the mind.
Yes. Brian is overseas right now his lovely wife, Terry, and they are celebrating their 30th anniversary.
God bless them.
Which gives us an idea. Excuse me, I'm having a little voice trouble this morning. See what I did
there? That's interesting. We should talk about that.
We should talk about it. But the fact that Terry has lived with Brian for 30 years is impressive.
She is a wonderful, godly, awesome woman.
Yeah, works in the credit union of Lifeway. So
that's right.
It's sickening.
You know the cute thing, and I know you've probably experienced this. You
know
what I'm about to say.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
I come and go in and out of Lifeway random times during the day, and there's Brian and Terry on a little walk.
Yes.
Down the little walkway outside, like coming from maybe Starbucks down the corner.
Or she, here's the even more sickening.
Yeah.
She will bring a cup of coffee up to our floor.
And that's been happening
for Brian
for years.
And I think we've got a policy against that. But anyway, all right, so we've got a very exciting, I'm very excited about today's podcast. We have a special guest, and so we're going to shut up talking about Brian.
Yes.
Tell us about our guest.
All right, well, her name is Diane Sheets, and she has been around Nashville for 20 years, and she is a vocal coach.
Yes.
And that would be the proper title, vocal coach, which is different than a voice teacher that many of us have had, like in college or whatever. Yep. So her, where she lands is vocal health.
Yes.
For all of us people out here that are just singing and stripping our cords out and doing it all day, every day, and, you know, trying to just get stuff done.
Yeah.
Diane's there in the corner saying, okay, time out.
Time out.
There are some things you might not know if you want to do this in 10 more for 10 more years or whatever. So, I mean, it's so awesome to have her. I mean, just the fact that you're in Nashville and we can sit here at this podcast and do this. Yay. I mean, I feel so lucky that we have
Tim,
her around.
First of all, you're talking way too much.
Am I?
So, but anyway,
this is the only moment Brian has, and then he's out.
It's Worship Life with
Mike.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So,
all right. This is Tim Henning out.
Okay.
I'm out.
No, you can, ask
I'm just kidding.
And she goes to your church. So
she
you
does.
Can,
she goes to Judson Baptist. Yeah. Yep.
So, Diane, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Really glad you're here.
It's
sorry
so great to
sorry
be
for
here.
Our silliness.
No, I love it.
Yeah, we have a good time doing what we do. Diane, what an amazing topic for us to talk about today.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of those guys, and I'm going to kind of talk to you like I wish I had talked to you maybe 15 years ago, but because I mean, I'm getting up on Sunday morning and I'm leading a rehearsal.
Yeah.
I'm leading a sound check. Mm-hmm. I might be teaching a Sunday school class. I often did that.
Yep.
I might be leading two services. I'm conducting a choir and then I'm going home, grabbing a bite to eat. And at 3 o'clock, I'm back up there with the youth band and the choir rehearsal. And I've got an evening concert and,
And you've been talking to everybody that wants to
and
talk
I've been
to you
talking
on Sunday.
To everything in the world.
So that's just Sunday.
That's just one day. Yeah, right.
So before we get into some of the issues I've just raised, I know your mind's going, okay. tell us some of your story. How did you get into this and to Nashville? And I don't want to just drop artist names. We're not trying to impress anybody today, but you've worked with some pretty amazing talent. In across the music industry, not just Christian music, but the music industry.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to drop in some of those names, too, so people just have a reference of what you do.
And yeah, you bet.
So give us a little bit of the story.
Well, I was born in Ohio. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going all the way back.
Back in My great-grandfather back in 18.
Exactly. Yeah. No. So I'm originally from Ohio.
Yeah.
And I, right out of high school, I went to a conservatory of music in Columbus and spent a couple years there. And then really wanted to get a Christian education. Hmm. And so I spent a couple years working, saving my money, and went back to Liberty University.
Wow.
And and finished up there with a music degree.
Awesome.
And stayed in Lynchburg for a little while, worked in a church. I was a choir director. I worked with children's ministry and youth, and kind of did the gamut.
Yeah.
And then I decided that I really wanted to explore Nashville. I really had a passion for Christian music. And so we're talking like the 90s at the time. And so the worship movement was really just starting.
Sure.
And then, of course, I had grown up in a church where we had choir and an orchestra. And so I just loved that that piece of music in the church. And so I really wanted to come to Nashville just to kind of experience. And so I came here, and I actually worked in the music industry for a little while.
Yeah.
And everything from like publishing to doing choral projects. We had the company that I worked with had a relationship with a record label here, and we produced choral projects with Larry Goss. If
you've met, you know, Diane, I recognize your name from from those days.
Phil Barfoot.
Phil was, of course, Phil's in our family now, creative family. But I remember those days when you were doing that. I don't know that I ever met you then, though I was close friends with Larry and did a lot of things with him. We probably crossed paths
somewhere back there.
I just, I made such an impression on you, you don't remember it. But anyway, but that's really cool.
And I tell you, and I haven't seen Phil and golly 20 years. And but I tell you what, I learned a lot about the Christian music industry working with him and all aspects of it, everything from like contracting singers to players, studio, you know, like publishing, working with churches, developing projects, and then the orchestration side with Larry. I mean, it was unbelievable education. And through a set of like just personal circumstances with my family and health issues with my grandparents who raised me, I ended up going back to Ohio for a while to kind of take care of them. And while I was there, I met a voice researcher who was going to my church. And that changed my life.
Wow.
She was working on... With several other researchers, she was working on a voice training model that was based in anatomy and physiology of the voice and acoustics.
Wow.
And we became friends. I spent a couple years being mentored by her.
Good
and
grief.
It really changed my life. And right after that, I had an opportunity. I was doing some workshops as a part of like a licensing protocol. And but I got connected with a country music band, Diamond Rio.
Yeah.
And I worked with them, and they were having some vocal issues, and their lead singer was having some challenges with his voice, and they promoters were canceling their shows. And
would you call that a diamond in the rough?
It was more rough.
I couldn't help it. But
and they
I love their that band. They were great, and great guys too.
And anyway, they lost their record deal, and everything was just kind of falling apart. And I was able to come in and help. And through that...
that's great.
Yeah. And I think people started unbeknownst to me, people started talking about what happened with them. You know, it was like they were off the radar and now they're back on, and they had gotten signed to Word.
Yeah.
There was a year there where Mark Bright was the... was the president, yeah, and he signed them. And
I remember that.
Yeah, and it's actually the only time that they've ever received a Grammy for a record. Wow. And when they did a Christian record. Isn't that crazy?
I remember the record, and I remember when Mark and when he signed them. I didn't know you were behind the scenes helping those guys get vocally healthy.
You bet. Wow. And so that kind of changed things for me, and people started talking, and through then the very next thing that happened was I was sitting in an A&R office at Provident record label, and I was talking to Jordan Thomas, who was A&R over there, and she said, you know, and I had arranged a song that Cademan's Call had recorded and on their very last record, and we were talking about that, and she said, are you a writer? Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, at the time I was like working for an insurance company, but I really am passionate about voice. And and I said, well, you know, I'm doing these vocal workshops, and I've been working, you know, I worked with this band called Diamond Rio that's in the country market. And she said, oh my goodness, I've heard of you. And she said, we are looking for a vocal coach to work with one of our band members, or one of our bands that we just signed.
I bet I can guess. I'm not going to. I'm going to let you tell us who it was, but if you want to.
Yeah, I would love to. And they said this band is, their lead singer is amazing, but when they were in the studio, we're able to sing the bridge twice and get what they needed for the record, but he can't actually sing it live.
Wow.
And they're going out, and they have an opening spot with Mercy Me on this big tour. The single hit number one this week, and he can't sing it. So we need somebody to help. Would you be willing?
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, yes.
This is like a movie. You know that, don't you? I mean, this whole thing
amazing.
Feels like a movie. Yeah.
and so she said, will you meet with him? And I said, yes. And that was Mike Donaghy with 10th Avenue North.
Okay, wasn't who I was guessing. Uh-huh. But that's cool.
Yeah. And he has a big mouth, and he talked about his experience with me. And then it just spread.
Went
like,
from there.
Mm-hmm.
When you said Provident, I was thinking of a certain youth minister I know down in Georgia.
That's right. So one of the next people I worked with then was Mark Hall with Casting Crowns.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've been working with those guys for, golly, years now, probably 10 years. And so working with Mark and Megan, with Crowns as a whole, and worked on the last couple records with them, and they're just finishing up their new record, and so that's exciting. And,
well, I think that's when I met you. I mean, we may have met way back there. The very first recording session I ever went to of something I had written was with Larry Goss.
Oh, no kidding.
Larry was behind the console, and I was back there crying and puddling, you know, listening to him do one of my songs. And you might have even been in the room. But
I'm sure your song wasn't that bad.
It was okay. It was all right. but I met you. Crowns came to Lifeway.
Yes.
Which they're great friends of Lifeway. We talked to those. And I love Mark so much. He's a church guy.
And
what's hilarious is we know Casting Crowns, but that's the overflow of a ministry that's really grounded in church.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, he's leading his Wednesday night Bible study just about every week.
Yeah.
You know.
And everything he writes comes out of.
It's amazing. But anyway, but Mark, the Crowns was at Lifeway. They were doing a chapel service. And I look up and I see this woman over there beating Mark in the back of the. And I'm like, what is this person doing to Mark Hall? And I met you that morning. You were actually prepping him for that concert.
Yeah.
And that, I think. They were on their way somewhere else, and this was a time that you could check in with them because they were in town. And I think from there they went somewhere and beyond, and you were just helping them. So that was when I first became aware. But I've heard of your work. I'm kind of like that girl at Provident. I've heard people talking about what you do, and let's just look back at what God did.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, think about your passion for music, your passion for Him, how He prepped you musically with your musical education, your vocal background, all those experiences.
Yeah.
And you're going down this path that includes coming to town, going back to Ohio. And the whole time God had this in front of you. And there were probably some days when you were by yourself and wondered, what in the world? And here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that to encourage the people listening to you today.
Yeah,
that what a great story of God's faithfulness and providence in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah, and there's another 40 years ahead, and he's got that covered too. And you
40 years?
Oh, when
I look younger than
I was trying. I was trying to be generous. Okay. All right. So let's just, you know, people are living longer these days.
Oh, my word.
All right. So let's back up and get into kind of a subject area.
Yeah.
Of, and I'm going to be Minister of Music Mike today talking
all
right. to
you. Yeah, I love it.
So every Sunday, I've got sound check at 8, mm-hmm. 8 o'clock in the morning. Nobody, there's a reason they don't do opera at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Nobody should be singing at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I've got a sound check. I've got a rehearsal. I'm warming up a choir. I'm teaching a Bible study class. Yeah. I'm leading 3 services. Mm-hmm. I've got rehearsals that afternoon. By the time I get home Sunday night, I can't talk.
Yeah. Mm.
So help me.
Shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, help me.
Well,
help
I tell
me.
You.
Where would you start? Where,
it do, it doesn't would, start on Sunday.
Yeah. What would you? So I'm sitting in your office. Help me have a voice that can survive all that.
Yeah. Well, the first thing we need to look at is just like lifestyle type things, and even as you know, Sunday morning is like the critical point. But really, what are you doing on Saturday, and what are you doing the week prior? Everything from like hydration, you know, people talk about, you know, water. Water's so mm-hmm. important for vocalists, you know, you need to be drinking water. Yes, but it's just not Sunday morning. You know, when you drink something, it actually never touches your vocal cords. Mm. And I think that's a bit of a myth, you know, it's like I'm going to drink some water and I'm going to hydrate my vocal cords. Well, your vocal cords are actually in your windpipe and your larynx, right?
Yeah.
So when you swallow, it goes down your esophagus. But hydration is critical to good voice production, but it gets there through the blood system. Mm. And it takes about 2 hours for your body to process water. So if you're grabbing a bottle of water as you're walking out on stage, you're too late.
Yeah.
Wow. Day late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to help you in that moment. It's going to hydrate your mouth and it's going to make you feel like, well, I've quenched my thirst, but it's not going to help vocal production. So consistent water intake is the key. And that happens, you know, days before. That happens in a healthy lifestyle. And then so hydration is critical, and then sleep.
Wow.
And
boy, that's so true.
It's, you know, and it's hard, you know, especially, you know, you're getting up, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it is so that you can be at church on time. If your rehearsals start at 8, you probably want to be there an hour before.
Yeah.
So that's 7. Are you getting up at, you know, 5,
yeah.
6? Are there things that you need to prepare? Okay. So what did you do on your day of preparation, which is Saturday?
Yeah.
And what time did you get to bed?
Yeah.
And, you know, and during our sleep is when our bodies heal and restore, and we have to have that time. And so if you're not doing those things prior to Sunday morning, you're really not setting yourself up for success.
Yeah. Wow. That, boy, I mean, you're nailing it. I used to tell people for years, and I've never studied my voice from a physiological standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
My awareness, I'm very vocally aware. Because it's my instrument.
Right.
So I know what's going on with my instrument all the time. And I've said it for years, and you just confirmed it. So thank you for making me so smart. The biggest correlation I've ever seen personally of my voice, vocal production, is correlation with sleep.
Yep.
When I lose sleep, I lose my voice, period.
Yep.
I mean, it happens. And mm-hmm. so that whole idea. All right. So you've already helped me. Thank you.
You're welcome. So
I want to throw a couple of things out that I'm being real vulnerable. This is turning into, do I have to pay you for this session?
By the way? I was about to say.
Because I'm getting, by the way.
There's a couch behind you.
You can turn off the, right you can turn off the podcast.
Right.
I'm going to talk to Diane. For
right,
this,
right.
So I'll tell you another thing that I've associated with. When I've got big singing in front of me,
mm-hmm.
like I'm going to be in the studio for 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
or I'm doing, and by the way, I put speaking in this same category when I'm singing
absolutely.
And speaking. Here's something that I learned from my old friend. You may know this name. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but my chief collaborator, we wrote probably 200 songs together, Luke Garrett.
Oh yeah,
and Luke was an artist that I traveled with. I sang with for years. We had a trio. That we would do stuff and do gigs here and there. I was worship pastor at a time. We wrote a lot of songs together. I saw Luke do this. And by the way, a freak voice.
Yeah.
Freak voice. But Luke taught me this. He would get his heart rate. He would go cardio.
Yep.
About an hour before he had a big singing something. Yeah, he would get on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter what city we're in. If the hotel didn't have a treadmill, he's looking for a fitness club, whatever. Mm-hmm. He would get his heart rate up for about 20, 30 minutes. It wouldn't be what you'd call a full workout. Mm-hmm. But he would get
the blood flowing.
He'd get the blood flowing. Yep. All right, so that was a good thing to do, right?
Absolutely.
And I still do that. So tell me why that's important, or why that helps.
It is important because it does get your blood flowing. And the whole point of a warm-up, whether it's, a vocal warm-up, and let me just say, with my vocal warm-ups, when I am working with an artist, we not only warm up the intrinsic muscles of the larynx, which would include, the vocal cords, they're inside the larynx, but we do extrinsic muscle warm up as well. So everything from massage to warm up the muscles on the outside of the neck, on the back of the neck, the nape of the neck, where your noggin connects to your to your neck.
That's what you were doing to Mark that day saw you. Yeah,
that's right. So we're getting blood flow, getting toxins out. That's part of the reason why hydration is so important, because the hydration, the good blood flow is going to be really helpful for removing toxins and for your muscles to work appropriately. And then just getting your body engaged. And so when I'm working with an artist, we always start, we'll do some steaming. Okay. I have found that's very beneficial. I'll do massage, they either do it themselves or I will do it.
Right on their throat.
You bet.
Right there.
You bet. And there are tons of educational videos you can look up on YouTube. I have a couple out there where I kind of teach you how to do it. You can talk with your doctor or therapist about how to do that. And then we go into warming up the vocal cords and making sure that we have good placement and breath support and all of those things. And oftentimes during the vocal warm-up part, we'll do cardio. Yeah. And if you follow me on Instagram or whatever, or you follow artists who work with me, oftentimes you'll see them doing vocal warm-ups and they're running in place. And we do all that.
So my assistants at my churches where I'd served always knew this. I always had a staircase somewhere in the facility that was private, out of the way. But if I was about to do a concert or something, I am on that staircase going up and down stairs for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yep, that's great.
Maybe 20 minutes before I go out. I don't want to be sweaty when I get out there or out of breath, but
doesn't either.
They don't want me to either.
I timed out some push-ups one time before a concert.
Did you?
I didn't time it out well.
Oh,
no.
Really?
So me and Kirk were doing push-ups in the back hallway, and then it was time to go out, and we were literally out of breath, and we had to go out and do a cappella. It was awful.
Yeah, but I tell you what I find, too, is that, worship pastors, singers in church, they get up, they get ready, they get to church, rolling in the door at the last minute, and they haven't woken up.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to be engaged.
Yeah.
You're not doing yourself any justice.
All right, so here's what I want to do. We're definitely going to get another podcast with her, because we're just now really getting into some of this good stuff. But I want to summarize what we've said so far.
Yeah.
We've talked about three or four things that if just that person listening to us right now could just tweak their patterns just a little bit. And I want to you tell me if I'm remembering right. But first of all, it doesn't start on Sunday.
That's right.
It's all week. You're hydrating. You're taking care of those things. Sleep, 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 sleep,
critical.
sleep. I was kind of putting in my mind, if I was to be at the church, if I was going to try to be at the church at 7. Am I better off getting up super early to kind of slowly get ready, or would the extra sleep be more important to me? I don't know. I mean,
everybody's different.
But that'd be something to consider.
That's right.
But if you're going to bed at 12 o'clock on Saturday night and you've got to be at the church at 7 the next morning, and all the things that have to happen in between there, you're probably not getting enough sleep.
Probably not. And
I wouldn't just say Saturday night. I'd say just sleep deprivation can accumulate.
It'll catch up with you.
Mm-hmm. So sleep. If your voice is important to you and you're using it as an instrument, you would never take your Taylor guitar and leave it out in the front yard of your house, you know, through a rainstorm. And yet sometimes we do the equivalent with our voices when we're not sleeping, we're not hydrating, we're just not taking care of the instrument. And so we're recapping that hydration and that sleep thing. I'll ask this question because it just came to me and I don't want to lose it. Is there something, could I get away with this for a little while, but I'm going to pay later?
Sure.
So there's an accumulative effect?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that we need to be thinking about ourselves as vocal athletes.
There you go.
You know, it's not just, I've got a good ear and I've got a good tone in my voice and, you know, I'm just going to rely on my talent.
Yeah.
There's a responsibility with the talent. And that's where you need to really think about, okay, I'm using fine motor skills in my vocal muscles. Do I know how to use it? Do I understand my instrument? Yeah. Do I know how to negotiate when I'm sick and have to perform?
Yeah.
Or I do have a lack of sleep. So how do I manage myself? And that's a very, like, you know, you're approaching it as an athlete. Rather than just on talent.
Yeah, that's a beautiful picture of the vocal athlete. So hydration and sleep. We talked about how cardio can be helpful, the massages, those kinds of things. And you're talking to me about my voice and the maintenance of my voice. So what I want to do, we're going to let Tim close this out. I can't wait to hear if he's as good at Brian at it. I mean, I don't know if you're nervous about this.
Pressure's on.
But when we come back, we're going to talk about how do I, as a leader, help my singers?
Yeah.
Because as a ministry leader, I've got singers all around me.
What can
I do to help them in a church setting? And then I want to talk to you about vocal injury and how to recover.
Great. Yep.
So, Tim, get us out of here.
That's good stuff. And the one thing I'm thinking of is basically hearing all this, it's convicting. It's convicting because I think I can take for granted, you know, the voice. For some reason, we just take it for granted. Like you said, you know, it's like, well, I've had the enough talent to get by, and but like you said, you wouldn't leave your guitar out in the front yard. So, but why we don't take that for granted?
Tim.
So anyway, I have a couple points here. I have a couple of my own points. So no, thank you for being here. We look forward to the second episode.
Yeah.
And you go to worshiplife.com and you can like and subscribe to the podcast. We'd love for you to do that. Share this with your friends. If you know somebody who needs to hear this that's in your life and they're not connected with our podcast, please share this with them because this could be super critical for them to be able to continue doing what they're doing. So thank you for joining us. This is not Brian Brown. This is Tim Henning for the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan. We'll see you real soon.